Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our examination of these Advent blues, as I mentioned toward the beginning of service, we've looked at Jesus and some blue things and his threefold office, prophet, priest, and king. We heard about how we no longer have to sing the blues because Jesus came as prophet, proclaiming the good news that dispels those blues. We were also reminded that Jesus came as the blue ribbon priest, the one after the order of Melchizedek. These are more than regal titles and lofty honors. They are claims that Jesus makes and Jesus himself fulfills. And today we discover Jesus as a blue blood, descended from kings and a king in his own right. Luke describes the scene before Pontius Pilate. Jesus was brought in before his accusers who said, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Then the Roman governor asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus' response was simple, "You have said so." The evangelist John records a little bit more. When Pilate asked Jesus what he has done to deserve the vengeance of the chief priests, Jesus answers, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king." The first time the author of our sermon, again, because I'm using a system from the CPH, and so this is not my own work. So when the author was preparing this sermon, he says the first time he saw a king was when he was in his 30s, about the age of your current pastor. And he had lunch with Frederick the Ninth and Queen Ingrid of Denmark at the Coconut Grove in Los Angeles Ambassador Hotel. He says, of course, there were probably 800 other people there as well. Over 20 years later, he saw his second monarch, Queen Elizabeth II. Kings and queens don't generally appear on the American front too often, except perhaps as guests of state. Finally, he saw Her Royal Highness, Princess Benedict, sister of Queen Margaret, when the American Club in Copenhagen observed its Diamond Jubilee. Now, to be sure, there are beauty queens and there are used car kings, monarchs of the movies and sovereigns of the fields. But they're not quite the same as true blue bloods. And the author records that he has seen many homecoming kings and queens, and yet they're not quite the same as a real, genuine, completely authentic king. And he says that he has only known one of those. One that was not pretentious, one that did not abdicate the throne, but was a true blue blood king, Jesus. You know him too. His reign is not from a golden throne, and it's not with diamond encrusted crown. His kingdom is not one that has boundaries as we know them, from country to country, or race to race, or ethnicity to ethnicity, but by faith, prayer, and the sacraments, by God's word and his church. His rule extends over the universe, but he has more than an embassy in every human heart. There he has his palace from which he rules in our lives. This is the one we know as Christ the King. This is the infant who drew the wise men from the east, following the star to see this great one who had come. This is the rabbi whose teaching and miracles led the rabbis of the time to want to desire to make him king of Israel. And this is the one about whom the prophet Isaiah said he will reign on David's throne forever. The prophet Micah foretold that he would be born in Bethlehem, but would rule all of Israel. Jesus came to rule in the hearts of humankind. He came to advance the kingdom of God, which is the will of God. William Barclay identifies Jesus as the embodiment of the kingdom of God on earth, because he is the only one who has perfectly fulfilled the will of God. Jesus came and he was a far different monarch than any king we have ever known or ever will know. because His blood, His blue blood, was a heavenly blue blood. He was born in no palace. His only crown on earth was a crown of thorns. His only scepter was a reed, and His royal cloak was a cape put on Him in contempt by those who were wanting to jeer at Him. He commanded no military force from the back of a stallion, and he sentenced no culprit to death like Herod and Pontius Pilate. Jesus was a king unlike any other. He was a king who died to save His people from their sins. Then He rose from the dead to rule with love and grace. He dispenses forgiveness rather than retribution and welcomes everyone into His eternal kingdom. He was and is the most unpretentious blue blood this world will ever know. Our King seeks to strengthen His rule in our lives so that we, when we fail, we repent. As we shed the sin and remember the lesson learned, we can move on with a new will to serve. Be perfect, commands our King, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And that is only possible as we receive the forgiveness He has earned for us on the cross of Calvary. When that forgiveness is given to us and we receive it with open arms and open hands, then we can brush aside that sin and we can serve as we have been called, serving as God has called us to be in perfection. When we do this, we realize that we are not loathed, but loved. Oscar Wilde's The Happy Prince almost describes our King Jesus. He pictures the prince as a regal blue blood who is also a regular, ordinary friend. In the story, the people's prince, or the people of the prince's kingdom, to remember this ruler, who always seemed happy, erected a statue high up on a column. But the statue wasn't enough. They had to put rubies in his eyes and rubies in his sword and decorated his neck and made it all gussied up with all the gold and rubies they could find, all the jewelry they could find. And so whenever they looked at this statue of the happy prince, they too were happy. Well, if you know this story, sometime later, a swallow comes and lands at the prince's statue's feet. And as the bird then covers its head to go to sleep, it feels water. And looking about it, realizes it's a cloudless, moonlit night, and it wonders how it could have felt water. But looking up at the statue, he sees that the statue was crying. The king was not happy. The swallow then flies to his shoulder, and the prince tells him, "When I was inside the palace walls, I was happy because I could not see the suffering of my people. But now I see the suffering and the pain that is taking place." And so he says, "Take the ruby from the hilt of my sword and carry it to this house to the north." That's where a widow lives who is having difficulty. So the swallow obeys, and entering an open window, he drops the ruby, and then he flaps his wings so that the child, who is feverish, could finally fall asleep. Another thing that the swallow does then for the prince is he says, "There's another family that will be evicted from their home. Take the jewels from my neck and give them to the family." So the swallow takes the necklace with the rubies and he drops it so that the rubies fall out, and he picks up the rubies and puts them outside the door. And sometime later, a child comes out to collect twigs for their fire, and he finds the precious jewels and he is delighted. And so the swallow goes and reports this to the prince as well. And so too with every piece of gold and jewelry on that statue. Every piece was used for the common good. Now the happy prince is a legend, but the King of Kings is a genuine blue blood who gave not jewels and leaves of gold to his subjects, but his life. He brought joy to our world not by offering us gems, but by offering his life in our place, in your place. He came to be king of our hearts so that we can love as he loves. He came to be king of our heads so that we can think of others as he thinks of us. He came to be king of our souls so that we can live as he lives, forever. And he came to be king of our will so that we will what our Father wills, to do and to be goodness. Jesus is our joyous king, the happy prince of peace, who seeks to give us in bread and wine the living jewels of his very body and very blood. Come then and experience this king whose blue blood was so royal that it was shed for his people to redeem them eternally. Come, the king awaits. His Royal Highness, Jesus Christ, invites you to his feast. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.